Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So, how many here have served jury duty before? Oh, look at those faces. Oh, I see. Yeah, interesting faces I'm seeing when those hands go up. So, I had jury duty on Monday. And this is actually the second time that I've been called being over here on this side of the state. And so I actually like doing jury duty over here because, I mean, they're happy. And the clerk of the court, you know, his assistants, Jeremy, and they just do a phenomenal job. You get there, they're happy. Oh, I'll tell you all about that later. But, you know, it's really an interesting morning that we go through. You know, you see a video, then one of the members, either the sheriff himself or someone from the sheriff's office comes in and gives you a little talk, and then a judge comes down and talks to you. And so it's really interesting, and then Jeremy talks to us, and their goal is to make it as pleasant as an experience as possible for us while we are... Yes?
That's how we met, doing jury duty.
Oh my gosh, how many years? How many years ago?
27.
Love it. Awesome story. Now, were you serving as jurors or?
She found me innocent.
Okay. Just checking on that one. Yeah, just because I know after service, if the service is done, I mean, whatever happens, happens. So I was just curious. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for sharing that. That's an awesome story. So great way. You never know who you're going to meet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at around 11 o'clock, I like the way they do it in Florida because if you are called, you will be going up to one of the courtrooms. And it wasn't like that in New York. New York was just brutal. You'd hang out for 4 days. If your name was never called, you basically... Maybe you let go on Friday. But here it's like you go, you're up in the courtroom by 11:30, you know, so if there's a trial. So there happened to be two trials that were going to go to that day. So basically they tell you everything that you're supposed to do as a juror, right? You are to have an unbiased opinion. How many here can possibly have an unbiased opinion? I mean, that's like really, really hard. I mean, first you're sworn in, you know, are you over 18? Are you a citizen? Have you not been convicted of a crime? A couple of other things. And then it's like, okay, now the questioning really begins. So are you able to have an unbiased opinion about something? Non-judgmental. Not so easy if we are really and truly honest as we're sitting there. I mean, I'm walking into the courtroom and here are two defendants, and I hate to say this, there's one defendant who's, you know, in his late 40s and his parents are in the room, and it's like, really? I mean, you know, so you sort of like, how can you put this, your parents through this? You know, it's sort of like a whole, yeah, and I'm a pastor, I'm trying to be non-judgmental, ha ha ha. So then they say, okay, who the judge is, who the courtroom sheriffs are that are in there, members of the deputies, and then they introduce the lawyers and the defendants, and the very first question, do you know any of these people? Hands go up, I know the person, you know. Are you able, even though you know the person, to be unbiased? Will your knowledge of this person in any way, shape, or form affect your ability to be able to be partial? And most of the people there said, yeah, it's all fine. And then they read off the list of the witnesses. Now, in this particular case that I heard, it was mostly, you know, deputies from the sheriff's department, and do you have knowledge of this person? You know, a bunch of hands went up and said, yep, I'm aware of these witnesses. Are you able to, in your knowledge of these witnesses, render an unbiased opinion toward the testimony that they're going to be giving? Will your knowledge of this person in any way, shape, or form affect your ability to be non-partial? A couple of hands went up. You know, and it was understandable why in a particular situation if they were related to the person in any way. So what I realized is that no matter where I was sitting, whether you're the judge, who wants to be a judge here? Who really wants to be a judge here? Not me. I don't want to be that judge. You know, they said to us as juror, the only thing you have to do is take only that piece of the law that we're going to give you, and only that testimony, and render your decision based on that. That's all you have to do. So, should I call you Pastor Marianne? Are you able to be non-compassionate in this? Thank you for laughing, Marlene. It's like, Pastor Marianne, are you able to be non-compassionate? I'm like, that's a really good question. I mean, when it's put that way, I don't know how to answer that question. I honestly didn't know. Can you imagine what it must be like for the judge? Yes, we know what the law is, but do we not bring in other circumstances as a juror? The answer is no. You're not to bring other circumstances in. Okay, you know what I'd rather be? I want to be a witness. If I had to be anyone in that courtroom, I want to be the witness. How many of you here has ever served as a witness in a case, in a trial? Okay, is that a fun thing to do? No, it's not. I see a shaking of a head, yes. I see a shaking of a head, no. The previous place that I had worked at, there was a murder trial. I worked for an ATM network. They were able to link through research that we had done the person who had committed the murder to the photo at the ATM using the murdered victim's card. And so they said, well, you know, okay, thank you very much. You know, this person's really going away for life now. I said, yeah, okay, that's what you said the last time he committed the murder. But here's your evidence and all is good. Okay, we're going to have someone from the Orange County prosecutors, whatever it was, come and meet with you before trial. Okay, and here's the trial date, so you will get the subpoena. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, oh, no, you're going to be the witness because you have the key piece of evidence that will put this man away forever. And I said, I don't think so. One of those, like, I'm not sitting in this courtroom and saying this. This man got out before. Like, that's not happening. And so I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And they said, you don't have a choice. You will have to do this. That was a particular time that I did not want to be a witness. And actually, I wormed my way out of it because I was able to get somebody who was a colleague who knew this stuff far better than I did. So he was the one who gladly went to serve. You know, we hear Jesus say at the very end of today's gospel, and this is St. Luke's story of what happened that first Easter evening, right, when they were all gathered together. And do you remember what Jesus said? He said, you are witnesses to these things. He said, not that you were witnesses or you will be witnesses, but that you are witnesses. And he said that after he opened their minds so that they would understand Scripture. So the disciples knew what Jesus meant, that they were to give witness to the death and resurrection, to our sins being forgiven, to seeing the world in a whole new way, freely, a free gift, that we are reconciled with God, and that our new life begins today. So that statement is for us today too. You are witnesses to these things. How do you give witness? We can see people out there, can't we? I mean, I am not a street preacher. I am not the type of person that's going to go on the street and just start preaching forgiveness and reconciliation. That's not how I give witness. There are people that do a great job at that. And sometimes when we think about giving witness, that's what we think we're supposed to be doing. How about knocking on doors? Pastor Dave laughs. Pastor Dave was a mission developer. He knocked on doors, now didn't he?
Four times.
Four congregations he began. And actually, I knocked on doors. Was it easy? It was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. As a matter of fact, every day Carl kicked me out of the house and said, it is time for you to get out there. And all I did was knock on the door and introduce myself, hand a pamphlet, and that was it. I wasn't witnessing, as you might think. That's all I was doing. But that was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. How about at the supermarket? Have you ever seen people going up and down the aisles in the supermarket? That's not me either. Anybody here, is that your forte? Is that how you give witness? Because some people are really good at that. But I'm going to tell you the honest truth. That's not how I give witness. Are we called to tell the story? Oh my gosh, yes. It is right in this scripture, very clear, that we are witnesses, that we are to give witness. So maybe I'm not as good at doing it verbally. I can do it verbally when there are people here, but maybe I'm not the person who could stand on the street corner. But you know what I can do? I can listen really well when I'm in one-on-one. I can listen well, and I can point out in someone's life where God is doing something new. That's giving witness. Our actions. How about our actions? Do our actions not speak louder than our words? How about our non-actions speaking louder than our words? You're with a bunch of people, and some inappropriate joke is told, and everyone starts laughing, and you feel pressured. Am I supposed to laugh or not laugh? And maybe in the beginning, what you do is you laugh, and then you say something later like, that wasn't funny. Or maybe you walk away. But just maybe, as the scripture begins to open up in our minds, you say, you know, that wasn't appropriate. And then you look around and you say, who the heck just said that? Did that come from me? How about loving someone for where they are and allowing God to open up their minds versus knocking them over the head, dragging them to church and say, if you don't believe this, well, you know where you're going. How about our behavior as far as we talked about the not doing, but how about the staying silent when we're supposed to be speaking up? How about the way we conduct ourselves inside our home and outside of our home when no one's looking? We have this new sticker for the back of our cars, and I was going to share that with you at our announcements, that you could put one on the back of your car. And I've seen them for other congregations. And then, you know, you see the person with that sticker on the car cutting you off, jamming the brake, right? I'm like, geez, you know, like all of a sudden it's like, this sticker says something now about who I am, but it shouldn't have to. I should be that way, sticker or no sticker. How do we give witness as a congregation? How do we do that? And here's a more important question. If we were to go away tomorrow, would our community feel the impact of that in the witness that we're doing? Would they recognize that we're gone? These are all critical questions that we will be asking throughout this year. But our take home for today is that Jesus called us to do something. You know, for us, I think in today's age, here, living here in the United States, maybe it's not as scary to admit of who you are as a new person in Christ. Could it get you killed? Sure. We know that. We absolutely know that from children in these high school, you know, or any of these school massacres, when a child admitted something, that they were a believer and was killed for it. Mm-hmm. But it's not as dangerous a world as it was back then, where it meant that your witnessing could absolutely result in a beheading or a crucifixion. Maybe we need to remember those things. We are new people, risen in Christ on this very day. We need to let people know who we are, but not as important as who they are. Exactly as they are. No changing required. Yes, the judgment has been made. The judge has said every single one of us is guilty. But in looking at us, Jesus stands before us. And the judge says, your sentence? You're free. You're forgiven. Now, go and be witnesses, because you are a witness. How do our minds get opened? By staying in Scripture, meeting with each other, and learning more and more and more about that faithful God that we have, that never, ever, ever gives up on any of us. Jesus called the disciples to witness. And so we too are to witness, because we too are witnesses. Let your life speak of the witness that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen.